when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone, sweep the streets I used to own.
Hi, I'm Dr. Malhotra from Health Innovation Media at ATA 2015, and I'm here with Marty Cohen from Centrion. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning.
So, congratulations on the ATA Innovator Awards 2015.
Thank you very much. It's very exciting. We're really gratified to have received that award.
So, tell us a little bit about Centrion and how it's changed the way that telemedicine is going to be delivered in the future.
Centrion works to help patients with complex chronic disease avoid the need for hospitalization. The goals for the future of healthcare, we understand now we've got to do at least two things. We have to improve healthcare outcomes and control costs. And the patients with established chronic disease account for about 70% of what's spent on healthcare in the United States. So it's an obvious group to work with, because if we can improve their healthcare outcomes and reduce avoidable hospitalizations in that group, we simultaneously improve healthcare and reduce cost. So that's what we do. We integrate home monitoring data with longitudinal health data to look for patterns in that home monitoring data that indicate the patient's status has started to deteriorate, give their care team a warning that this has started, so that they can intervene with something fairly modest, reverse that process of deterioration, or at least mitigate it, and reduce the likelihood that the patient will get sick enough to be hospitalized.
So it sounds like smart remote patient monitoring, as opposed to just getting data coming in and then afterwards, you know, having a physician interpret it accordingly. This is machine learning. And tell us a little bit about the machine learning involved with Centrion, because that was probably the biggest distinguisher for myself as a physician that I've seen at ATA 2015 that definitely got you the well-deserved 2015 ATA Awards.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the machine learning is a well-established concept in big data analytics. And what it means basically is you take your output, you know, in this case, what we have predicted, that the patient will get sick or will not get sick, and then you record the actual event, the patient did get sick or did not get sick, and you feed that outcome back into the system. And the system takes that new information as feedback and adjusts itself to improve its predictive power. So, for example, with our first group, a small group of patients that we had on the system, the day one, our specificity was about 37%. You know, not very good. And that meant, 60% of the predictions were false. But over a period of 5 to 6 months of feeding the output and back into the system, as false positives or false negatives, the specificity went up to 87%. So it's a key part of, because we can start off with some ideas of what should have predictive power, but this is a new area. Nobody really knows what are the predictive parameters or combinations or patterns that will actually do this identification. And so we learn more from, the more we work, the better we get.
So the algorithm pretty much strengthens. Now, the question I have is it going to be a situation where we need to do it patient by patient, practice by practice, and then develop the algorithm and the machine learning itself? Or are we going to have something robust where we get to that 87%, 90% range to provide the physicians with the information that they need to be able to predict the care that the patient will eventually require?
Well, I think it'll be a combination. So patients with congestive heart failure and COPD have a lot in common, but each person or small group of people have their individual idiosyncrasies and characteristics.
Marty, what kind of things do you think are going to be required to get in terms of data? Is it just going to be labs? Is it going to be what kind of sensors, what kind of vital signs, what kind of data were you going to require to make that 87-90% predictive algorithm work for physicians like ourselves?
Well, that 87% was based just on the interpretation of home monitoring data, blood pressure, pulse, oxygen levels, that sort of data. But in reality, nobody makes a decision based on just one form of data. So the ultimate goal, from my perspective, is integrating all the information. So there's image information, and there are companies such as one of our sister companies, Mindshare, that does predictive analytics based on image interpretation and other similar things. Ultimately, as each company works in its specific area, we are developing our platform so that they can be integrated later on and work with all the data. So you'll get insight from all the different kinds of data, genomic data, image data, laboratory data, home monitoring data. And so the decision makers, both the patient and the clinicians, will have access through all this in one platform. And this is a futuristic goal, but I think that's where we have to go.
Absolutely. Integration is definitely one of the themes that I've seen in care networking in ATA 2015. What would you say would be the largest kind of pushers for the integration model that you guys have? Obviously, we have Apple HealthKit that just came out. Where do you feel that, from a physician as well as a patient standpoint, we're going to be able to integrate with what's being delivered right now?
Well, I think the changing environment is providing more pressure to integrate. I mean, fundamentally, the goal is to make better decisions. We have lots of evidence on what's going on in healthcare in the United States and in the world that indicates we have not been making very good decisions. For example, there was an article in a journal of the American Medical Association a couple of years ago by Don Berwick, the former administrator for CMS, that estimated in the United States, depending on the assumptions you make, between 21 and 47% of what we spend on healthcare in the United States is for things of no value. That's, considering we're almost at $3 trillion a year in healthcare spend, that's $900 billion or $1 trillion of waste. So clearly we need to make better decisions. And I think the role of information technology is clinical decision support. Help the decision makers make better decisions by giving them access to more of the information. We live in an ocean of data, so complex and so arcane that, an individual can't deal with it. So if we have these integrated technology platforms that look at all the data and give you insights into that data in an actionable way that you can use to make a better decision, then we improve healthcare, we attack that problem with waste, and we move to the kind of healthcare that we all really want.
Now, in 5 years, Centrion, with this kind of model, with predictive analytics for physicians, where do you see them going with specifically reduction of readmissions and reduction of costs? How do you feel that you're going to integrate and change the way that we make our decisions?
Well, I can see that going a couple of different ways. So our first effort is identifying patients who will deteriorate. Now, it's based on the premise that for most patients with diseases such as congestive heart failure or COPD, the pathophysiologic processes that lead to severe illness actually start days before the patient becomes aware. And so we are set up to detect the patterns that say this deterioration has started before the patient gets sick so that their care team can intervene. They make the choice of what they want to do to help prevent that from happening. Now, kind of our third level of planning here is that as we get more and more people on the system, say hundreds of thousands of people on the system, part of our input is we record what the care team's response was to the patient's problem and what the outcome was. Now, as we collect this kind of information on hundreds of thousands of patients, we will be in a position to help the care team make better decisions. We call it crowdsourcing or comparative effectiveness based on real-world data. We will learn that, for example, a smaller group of patients, like women between 75 and 80 who live in the northern tier, who have COPD and CHF, from all the patients we have seen, seem to do better with treatment A rather than treatment B, whereas 75-year-old men living in the south did better with treatment B, and we can offer that kind of insight. Again, it's decision support. Offering that insight to the decision makers, how they want to use it is up to them. But in the concept that decision support is not taking over decision making from you, but helping you make a better decision, we see that as another opportunity.
How do you think legislation is going to come around with such an innovative way of delivering care with providing physicians this kind of support? Because very novel, very innovative. We as physicians haven't seen anything like it. The legislation definitely will be very, very intrigued in seeing what you guys are doing. What do you think that they're going to be, or how do you think they'll respond?
Well, I think, in general, with the explosion in information technology and communications, the law is behind and playing catch up. So there will be a period of evolution. I think that the key instigator for getting support from the legislator or government in any way is showing value. And if we show that we actually make a difference, keep people healthier, and control costs, I think the recognition with real concrete data that there's a positive difference here, the legislation will catch up.
Marty Cohen from Centrion, 2015 ATA, reporting on how we've been innovative. Thank you so much for your time, Marty.
Thank you.